Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shift podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome. Hello, and welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. If you're a returning listener, I'm so glad you're back. And if this is your first time, then welcome and come on in. If you've been listening to the show, then you know I'm someone who has not only had an eating disorder and here speaking to you after years of being in recovery, but also as a licensed psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist who helps people overcome their own struggles with eating disorders and body image. And if this is your first time, well, now you know, and welcome. When I sit back and think about the topics to focus on for the podcast, I really do try to stay true to the title of it. Behind the Bite really does mean what's behind all your struggles with food. The purpose of food is to provide us fuel and nutrition, so we have to eat to stay alive. Essentially, this is what I call the hunger tank. You know, when you get physically hungry, you eat. But what about those times when you're eating and you're not physically hungry? You know, for those of you out there struggling with disordered eating, I call this eating out of the emotional tank. And I want to bring up and discuss those topics related to why you would eat out of that tank. Why are you turning to your disordered eating behaviors? What are you wanting to escape from, to control, to numb out from, not to deal with? So that's what today's show is all about, discussing something I know so many of you out there are struggling with, something which, especially when difficult, can bring about so many overwhelming emotions and difficulties, which can trigger all of you to engage in your eating disorder behaviors. And that something is relationships. And I know there are all sorts of relationships out there, but for today, we're going to focus on romantic relationships. Because let's face it, you can be in one and struggle just as much as you can struggle when you're not in one. Sometimes you struggle more when you're not in one, actually. You know, I often find that people I work with come home to an empty house late at night and they feel lonely and disconnected, and that can trigger a binge. And also, people who are single may truly believe they're not worthy or attractive, and they believe they can't start dating until they lose a certain amount of weight. So they starve themselves and work out hours a day just trying to achieve their goal. So there are so many people out there who I know can relate to this topic today, which is why I'm so glad to have a guest on the show with me today who is an expert in this topic. Charmaine Mitchell is a certified relationship coach and feng shui master. She helps women who have done in her words, shit ton of inner work, clear their blocks so that they can call in the kind of love where they can be fully expressed. Welcome, Charmaine.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I am so thrilled to have you here because, like I said, so many people out there do struggle with relationships. So before we get to, you know, what a unique and truly fascinating career you have, could you tell us a little bit more about you and how you got into this?
Of course. Well, relationships, as you already said, really are such a big part of our lives, whether we're in them or we're out of them. This is really inside of relationships with others or with ourselves. It's really, as you know, where we learn and grow the most. And it's how we see the reflection of ourselves back at us. So I was married for 23 years. I'm now divorced. I was in a long-term relationship of 7 years. That ended in a heartbreak. I have 4 children. Those are my incredible mirrors currently in my life. And so it led me to really looking inside relationships and obviously the deeper part inside of myself. The biggest catalyst was my relationship with my daughter, Courtney, who is now 22. And her struggle with one of the things was eating disorders, but actually alcohol addiction, drug addiction, all sorts of things like that, suicidal ideation. And her journey through that was our family's journey together. Mm-hmm. And it was a mirror to look inside of myself. And when I did and I started sharing, then I had other women come to ask me to help them. And then that's how I got on the path of being a relationship life coach. And then, of course, my interest in feng shui led me down that path. And I have now really created my own modality between the two, focusing on our relationships and our energies inside a relationship. So I don't hope that helps. If there's any other questions you can ask, but that's what I have.
Well, you know, thank you for sharing all of that, because I know I've had another guest on the show who also went down a path with their own daughter. And I think it's very powerful when people open up and share about their struggles with their children, because it's so hard to do that. So when someone else opens up, it kind of opens this floodgate and goes, oh, you're not the only one. And it just creates this ability to, you know, connect. And so, like you said, all these other people just started to come to you and say, hey, you know, like, for support. And this just led you down this path where here you are. That's yes. Amazing. And for you, you already had this experience with feng shui, or this background with feng shui. So, you know, before meeting you, actually, I'd never heard of anyone who was a relationship coach and a feng shui master. So I'm actually curious if you could tell us more about how you mix both of these two together to help people. Because that's so interesting to me.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. I'm quite passionate about it, and I can get all, so please let me know if I'm, if there's something that I say that's really not clear. Because as I said, you know, I get into my own little feng shui world and then everyone's like, what is she saying? So I'm learning as I go here to really be as clear as possible so that people can understand what it is I'm saying. So just as we have, you know, as in astrology, we are all born with the stars in exactly the position that they were in the moment we were born. We all know about our natal birth chart, that sort of thing, whether you're an Aquarius like I am or whatever your sign happens to be. It's the same kind of idea in feng shui. We all have an element. So the element is one of five elements: your fire, wood, earth, metal, or water. These are the five elements that make up nature, essentially. Okay. And so we are all one of those. We have a fingerprint at birth, and you are the element that you are. And really, what feng shui inside of relationships is all about is truly acceptance of what is and learning how to then navigate inside of that. So, for example, I happen to be wood. And so someone not, you know, saying to me, oh, well, I really wish you were like more like this person, or wanting to change me in whatever way. Like, oh, well, you don't say to a tree, I wish you were more like water, or I wish you were more like a rock, right? A tree is just a tree. So they're going to act like a tree. So we're all one of those five elements. And so when we look at and shifting a little bit over to relationships, when we look at all of our relationships, if we can look at people walking around as the element that they are, then we go, we have this interesting dynamic that happens. When I do that, I'm like, oh my goodness, well, they're just being earth. And that person's just being water. And it's so interesting how the dynamic then unfolds when I have been researching and observing this now for the past few years. And it's amazing to me how really beautiful it is to watch people navigate once they know what another person's element is and they know their own, the accepting of their own energy as well as somebody else's. It's truly miraculous. I don't say it that it's always easy, but it definitely helps explain things and gives a certain amount of relief and acceptance of what is versus trying to make it be something that it isn't. if that makes any sense.
Okay, so like you said, most people know, you know, I'm a Scorpio or I'm a Libra or I'm an Aries. So this is a very new concept, you know, for sure. So how would somebody know what element they are or what element their potential partner is or their partner is?
Right. So I actually, when I did, we became certified in feng shui, we learned about something called a trigram. And we learned about this trigram to tell us what everybody, you know, what everyone's element is. It's a formulation that we do. Really, the whole purpose behind finding out what your element is so that it helps to know, oh, well, does this house naturally support you? That sort of thing. So when I, how I do, I just, I, there's an actual little equation that I do. And I teach this in a workshop, a free workshop that I offer. I'm offering another one next Thursday, August the 13th. So, and I'll put some information about that. I don't know when this episode's going to play, but I do do them often. So I have them at least monthly. And I teach people how to do that equation. They can find out for themselves. And I'm currently writing a book about explaining the different elements and what they mean and interacting and that sort of thing. So, let's go back to your question. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess you're kind of answering it is, you know, you're writing the book about it and you hold workshops so people can find out what element they are and what element their potential partners are.
Yes, exactly. And how this helps us is that when we know what element we are and we know what element our families are, or maybe our past relationships, we can start to see patterns of our inside of our relationships. So we're like, oh, okay, I see. Oh, so a metal and I interacted this way in the past. Is that always going to be the case? Typically, yes. However, it's really helpful to see the past so that we can then go, oh, okay, now what am I calling in? Am I energetically calling in now? Because as you know, as a psychologist, if we don't change inside, do our own inner work, whatever that might be, we don't see the change on the outside world. So you hear the saying, you know, we do the same thing, get the same results. Sure. Well, a lot of times what I find in my coaching is that the women that I coach call in the same men over and over. They married and then they divorced one element. They then, their new boyfriend is the same element as their ex-husband. And I hear the saying, all men are alike. All men are the same. And I'm like, well, yes, because you are the same. You're calling in the same energy. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's not right or wrong. It at all. There's no good or bad here, because the relationship we're in is the one we're supposed to be in, because that's the one we're in. So there's learning and growth that happens inside of these relationships, as you know, that's what we're supposed to be in. However, that doesn't mean that we can't make a change. We can't choose something different, choose a different element. I had a workshop on that is, you know, what elements are you choosing inside your relationships with men? What can you make? Maybe you could research and choose a different element and see what happens.
So are there, you know, like with astrology, they say, oh, these two types of, you know, Scorpio and this sign are not compatible. So are there different elements that just aren't compatible?
Well, see, that's where, like I said before, every relationship we're in is the one we're in because there's something there for us to learn. Mm. So obviously there are more compatible in terms of I like to say complementary elements. Mm-hmm. So if you think about wood and fire, wood gives energy and supports fire. So that's a very complementary element or complementary relationship. Okay. And it's probably going to be a little easier. And then there's this give and there's this take, and that it just feels a little bit easier than a relationship between wood and metal. Metal controls wood. In a controlling destructive cycle, you think, oh, that sounds really negative. Well, I had a 23-year marriage with a metal that controlled my element. But inside of that relationship, I learned so much. It was my biggest growth of my life. So there's no, I wouldn't change it for the world, because that's where, you know, that's where I grew and I the most in my life. So when we say, oh, well, there's nothing one better than the other. However, in a complementary destructive cycle like that, it can be unhealthy. Those relationships, if the two people are really not of their best selves and there may be codependent behaviors, mental health, some mental health things going on, that can be a very destructive, unhealthy relationship. Those are the typically the relationships that I find they are. Now, they can still be healthy. I'm not saying that they don't have the potential, but typically they're not. So that's what, so there's not a better or worse. It's just, well, where are you in your life? And what is it that what's going on for you? Like, you know, where are you taking, you know, how, where are you taking your life on your journey at that moment in time? Whatever that is right for you. It's not a wrong thing. But we can make a different choice and we can research. That's what's beautiful about it. We can research it.
So that's so fascinating. So if you get somebody into your office and they say, gosh, I keep finding the same types of relationships over and over, or maybe they don't even know that. They just say, gosh, no relationship has ever worked. I'm so frustrated. Is the first thing you do to find out what type of element they are and then kind of go back in time and figure out what kind of element their partners have been?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we look at the family dynamic too. So their parents and their siblings, and just look at what are the elements that they've had and have currently in their lives, and have them do their own observation and research and feeling into, okay, what did that feel like? What did, you know, and so then you can start to see, oh, okay. And you can choose something different. That, yes, that's the first thing we do. We look at that person's element, that woman's element, and we look at all of her past partners, and we start to do our research.
Okay. So finding out what the past partner's element is or what they were, is that difficult to do if there's not a whole lot of information? Or is it based, I mean, if it's based on the perspective of the person sitting in front of you, or like, how do you figure that out? I guess is the question.
Oh, birthday. Oh, it's just your birthday. It's okay. Just like astrology. It's your birthday. Okay. Super simple. Yep. It's your birthday and it's based on the Chinese New Year.
Okay.
And, I would need to know the birthday and the year and that's it. And then we go from there.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So it's really super simple. So as soon as they can, so assuming they can find that for me, that's all we need. And then we start to apply. And like I said, to really understand is to research and observe. It's not so much like, oh, a metal is this kind of person, or a wood is this kind of person. I mean, you can kind of give a little bit of explanation, but not really. It's not about that. Well, what does that mean? Well, you can't really explain a tree, can you? I mean, we can say, okay, well, it's expansive. It grows up and outward. It has branches. It can be brown and green and like, but then sometimes not. Maybe sometimes it's like a gray color. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, it's not like that. The beauty inside of this modality is to research the relationship itself, how that energetically interact with each other. And then you can feel into what a metal energy is, what a wood energy is. Oh, okay. My dad was a water, but both my parents were water. I'm wood. So I was very supported, very supported. My siblings would always say, wow, like you're mom and dad's favorite. Mm. Well, now I look back and I go, yeah, no wonder. They loved giving to me. Because water loves to give to wood. And I had a sister who was earth and a sister who's metal. And so earth, my one sister who's earth, she controlled my parents' water. And my other sister, who is metal, supported my parents. And so they loved to be like being around her. So it was always kind of like they loved giving to me and then sort of being around my little baby sister. So it was kind of like that. And then my middle sister did control my parents, especially later in life. She was always telling them what to do. You know, so, you know, and when you just look at these family dynamics, I mean, it kind of blows your mind. It really does. And then it helps to, when you feel into that, because your family relationships, you've had the longest, of course, so you can really feel into like what those elements feel like. So then you can say, okay, I understand now what a water element is. I understand what it's like to be inside of that relationship.
That is so fascinating. That is, you know, because I look at family of origin dynamics and how that plays out, you know, in people's choice of relationships. And so it's such a different way of looking at it, obviously, but, you know, still the same. It's just still the same of like, gosh, the family of origin relationships is so important to look at. So I love this. This is fascinating to me. That's great. So do you get couples into, or do you just work with individuals?
Well, I do have couples come to me, but what I do is I really say I like to work them with them individually the most of the time. And the reason why I say that is because it helps them to be free to be expressive, because they may not feel that way inside of their relationship. Mm-hmm. And then it helps them like just, we can reframe things in a much more safe space than if they're together. That's what I've been doing. I don't know, that could change because I'm learning as I go. We all are. But at this moment in time, that's what I do.
Okay. And I'm also curious too, because I also find that a lot of women struggle in relationships because they're people pleasers and they want to make sure like the other person's happy, and they worry more like, is the other person like me? Am I doing whatever I can not to upset the other person? And, you know, that can probably make them a great partner, but they don't ever really stop and ask themselves if they're happy, or if, you know, if the other person is doing things for them. And so I'm wondering, for you, do you get a lot of women in that are struggling with that?
Oh yeah. That's one of the number one things to really be inside of relationship and to be fully expressed as ourselves is it's paramount, because it's the ultimate freedom. Mm-hmm. The biggest desire is to be inside of a relationship where someone can see you fully for you and love you for you. Well, they can't, that's not possible if they can't even see you mm-hmm. truly. And if we're not showing up as ourselves. So yes, absolutely. And I feel like a lot of this work too, is that going back to the feng shui, you know, acceptance, right? So it's acceptance all the way around. At the end of the day, it's acceptance of ourselves, and we're truly, truly loving ourselves for every single bit of who we are and showing up like here I am. And then when we do that, then what we're desiring can show up. Someone can see us. They can't love us unless they can see us. And so what will fall away will be all of the energies that we don't really want to be around anyway, like that they're going to fall away. And so then it makes room for those men that can see us. And yeah, we got to show up that way. So as ourselves. And yeah, I see that all the time. To be fully expressed in relationship is the biggest thing.
Right. Because you were talking about how you help women, you know, clear their blocks so yep. they can call in, you know, the kind of love that allows them to do that. So is that part of going beyond the feng shui, but also doing more of the inner work?
Right. That's right. Exactly. It's yeah. And it's just peeling layer after layer. We just go through and honor and see everything. And I, by inside of this coaching with me, when I really see my clients, I look at them as my sisters. I don't even like to say client, but I look at them and I see them fully, and I have zero judgment, and they get to show up with me as fully themselves. And we just keep going and we keep going. Finally, there comes a time where it's that moment of, that's it. This is who I am and this is what I want. And that's that. And it's just, that's the spot. That's the sweet spot that we look for.
So tell me a little bit more about this workshop. You say you do it about once a month, and is it online? Is it virtual? Like what's the workshop? Okay.
So I do, and it's free for anyone who wants to come to learn about it. I do feng shui. I do all different kinds of different things. I do like tips about dating. Like, it'll be whatever is sort of like coming through me. I'm channeling, or what I see people are like talking about on my social media or asking questions about. I usually put out like, what do you want me to talk about? Like, what do we want to delve into? So it changes up, but it will be on Zoom. That's how I do it.
Okay. And so if somebody comes to the workshop and say they want to work with you, how does that happen after the workshop? How do they get in touch with you? How does that flow?
Okay. So I have on my website, it's www.charmainemitchell.com. I have a schedule a free strategy session with me, and we'll do a 30-minute strategy session and determine if we are a right fit to work together.
That's fantastic. I mean, because I could see that would be beneficial to say like, hey, I really want to figure out if working with you is the right fit.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there anything that, you know, you feel the listeners should know or need to know, something really important that, you know, anyone out there listening, it would be helpful for them to understand?
Oh gosh. I think the word that always this comes to me is acceptance. That's really it. As such an easy word to flow off the tongue, and such a hard thing to do sometimes. And I feel like that has been the biggest gift and freedom for me personally in my life. And then also for my sisters that I work with, when I feel that moment of acceptance from them of themselves, mm-hmm. It's the whole world opens up. And so just keep going. I guess that's it. Just keep doing the inner work. Cause if you're on this podcast, obviously you are doing some inner work, because you're researching and you're searching for different people and information, and you're gathering and learning and growing. And so I just say, keep going, because you're on the right track.
And those are great words and messages, because that's really what this is about. This is about everyone out there listening to get beyond, you know, your eating disorder, your negative body image. And just like Charmaine said, really getting to realizing you have so much value, so much worth beyond the external. You're more than a number. You are more than a size of your pants. You have so much value and worth. And I love your message, Charmaine. I think it's fantastic. So thank you for that.
Thank you for asking.
No, it's a great message. And I just love, you know, that you're healing people and helping people to clear their energies and calling in things that are positive, that, you know, that they want and need in their life, that, you know, match their energy when they clear out all the junk. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing these podcasts, because this is what we need to do. These are the kinds of conversations to have. And, because we all know that an eating disorder is just one of the many things that we all it's one of the many things, you know, that we're dealing with from day to day. And I really appreciate that you're creating these podcasts. So good.
Thank you. And I know you personally have experienced that with your daughter, so you understand completely the struggle and what that looks like. So I appreciate that you get that. You get that part and how painful that can be. So
yes. painful for her, I'm sure. I don't know, but painful for her, but then also painful for the family to watch and to be a part of. But of course, it was one of the many symptoms or whatever of a deeper, much deeper thing for her. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that she's, you know, 6 years later and done the work to get to a place where I think she's doing well. She's doing well on her journey now.
You know, and I love hearing these stories, and for everyone out there listening, again, I reiterate as whenever I can that recovery is possible, because you need to keep hearing these stories of people mm-hmm. that get into recovery and stay there. You know, to have the hope, you know, don't listen to that myth that you cannot get over an eating disorder. It's not true. You don't have it forever. You can get into recovery and stay there. So please hold on to that hope. Listen to Charmaine, her daughter, you know, she's 6 years later. So it's possible. Just keep hearing these messages and take that in. So don't give up on yourself. Just stay the course and keep listening to people that have recovered and know it's possible for you. So thank you again for sharing that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Charmaine, I truly, this has been fascinating, and I cannot thank you enough for being here with us today. Thank you for sharing all the information and letting people know how to find you, because I think your workshop, I hope people go and attend your workshop and start working with you. I think that's fantastic. And for anybody who didn't get all that information down, don't worry about it. I will be posting all of Charmaine's contact information and links to access her free workshop on my show notes, which will be on my website. So be sure to head on over there. They'll be waiting for you. All right. So Charmaine, again, thank you. Thank you. You've been a wonderful and engaging guest today. All right, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for being here and thanks for listening. And as always, I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. All right. And to your health, everyone.
To you next yours. Time. Thank you, love.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guest are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.